Why, hello, it's Dave with God's love, God's message, and God's messenger for God's people. Praise Jesus, he is Lord of all, Lord of heaven and earth, Jesus our Savior. Salvation is free. God loves you, but man is a sinner and must need salvation to get free from his sin. When such person is saved, their sin is taken far away, as the east is from the west. Forgiveness abounds, and a person that is saved knows the happy and joyful feeling of having his sins forgiven for the first time. We're born in sin, but we need to have that second birth, that new covenant birth of being born again. Every person in the world should experience the love of God. It's a tremendous feeling to know God's love, that it was in Christ, demonstrated on the cross when he died for us on the cross, rose again, and an empty tomb is there to prove he lives. He lives within my heart. Salvation is free, like I said before, but we must follow God, follow Christ, and learn naturally to follow God, so that when the time comes, Christ's word will be in our ear. The voice of God will be clearer than any other voice, and we will obey it. For the Holy Spirit is given to those that believe as a seed. The germination of the seed of the Word of God within us produces a life of holy living, a lifestyle of sanctified life through Christ our Lord. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ lives in me, and the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's Galatians 2:20 in the Bible. So let's stay involved, because the love of God is true, trustworthy, fantastic. All things are possible with God. All things are possible to him who believes. These are words of Jesus. But following Jesus gains eternity if you receive his gift, recognizing by grace we're saved, not of works, not of ourselves, lest any boast. This is Ephesians 2:7-8. Verse 10 also says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So it can cost us everything we have to follow Christ, but don't look back. The adventure is worth it. For you see, Christ lived down here on earth in 2,000 years ago, a perfectly scriptural, biblical, perfect, super faith-filled life, then was willing to be laid down on a cross and let nails be driven in his wrists and feet, literally he having the power to lay his life down or take it up again. He willingly, voluntarily died for us on the cross in our place, for the very sins you commit or omit, and thought of you above all. Suffering and dying, he became our sin to pay God his justice and holiness. He became our sin that we might become the righteousness of God in him, or through him, that we might be saved. You can know Christ and him crucified in your salvation from sin. Salvation is God reaching down to man. We can't earn a position or a favor with God. We just receive it like it is, a gift that it is. Look for daily high points to acknowledge God's presence and gift. Give glory to God, acknowledging your need too. For without him, we can do nothing. Without Christ or without the Holy Spirit, nothing can be done. With Christ, all things are possible, and with God. Acknowledge God the Father is pleased when his Son died, and his Son Christ is saving us. He chose the nails, lived a perfect, holy, righteous life. Then from that individual fact, he became sin for us. We being from Adam, sinners of original sin, though like Adam, sinners as well by ourselves, with a heart that is nothing short of a fountain of corruption and pollution. Then God saves us by our faith if we put trust in his finished work, the magnificent completed work of Jesus Christ at Calvary, now as we bow with his help. For trust requires more than faith over time. It requires as much as we use our credentials too and use them properly in Christ. Now today is the day of salvation, and if we don't harden our hearts, we can accept his substitution, our sin for God's righteousness, and start this new life we call newness of life and forgiveness from God. when we believe with faith. Have we ever lied or had a bad thought? You and I do deserve death and hell. Chris, Scripture says clearly we're sinners in the hands of an angry God, as Brother Jonathan Edwards said a long time ago. We have sinned and are guilty and required to pay for that sin, quote-unquote. All sin you have done, act by act, thought by thought, attitude by attitude, or habit by habit. God's word says he requires that blood guilt of our sin as payment for committed, even omitted sin in our hands. But the good news is God provided the way out. God's escape is salvation or forgiveness of our sins, a new life in Christ. Salvation is God's payment or expiation of our sin. It's a newness where we get forgiven and an ethical restart, cleansing, even a catharsis sometimes of being born of God, first confessing you're a sinner, wrong in God's sight before, but now receiving grace, mercy, and love from him. Even in a fight, but God fights for our battles. We go where God's taking us, which is then in fullness, thankfully experiencing. In other words, you give your life to God, relinquishing release of your heart, your will, your mind to a lasting relationship with him, a makeover by God, a spiritual conversion of God's grace and love, even to surrender to God's will of your entire life, what you do, what you think, say, and where you go, where you change metamorphically by the change he makes, transforming. We submit to let God do the saving and relent of the mastering of the rest of our entire lives by receding and relenting, leaving the mastery of our lives to him alone. That's Jesus Christ, Lord. Not our idol, but Jesus Christ. This is God's Holy Spirit, that third person of the Godhead, transforming you radically, convicting sinners, but in the saved, giving a new nature and a new heart, putting his Holy Spirit within you and renewing your mind, leading you to kneel before the Savior and God, repent of sins at an altar with Christ. When we take captive every thought, then remain not conforming to the right living, even the image, the righteousness of Christ, because we make this decision at Jesus' feet, committing to God, dedicating, placing ourselves totally at Calvary, where God wants us to bind us forever and embrace a hug, a forever kind of fellowship with us that's good and virtuous, every day having that intimate walk with God, a lifestyle that is holy. In the Bible, in the Scripture, in the book of Acts, those acts of the Holy Spirit, we realize that Paul had a good thousand miles he had before he had results. He walked, but then he came to Philippi and he had healing for Lydia, who was set free of her sins. Paul speaking at the outskirts of Philippi, and then it was the woman who was demon possessed following after. She got healed, and when the people that were abusing this woman by making her a use of their money, was that fountain was dried up. Then they began to riot and put Paul in prison. And when in prison, there was a controlled earthquake. All these were stages in God's plan. And God eventually saved that jailer's life who didn't move but asked to be saved. Each of us can be saved by asking in our own way, our own belief in Christ for his salvation alone. So we see that in the cross and in the empty tomb, God's showing us loving kindness to us, even through tribulation in this life. The goodness of God shines through and leads us to repent. There's a change of attitude towards sin involving sorrow for sin and change. And in God's exaltation of him, Christ's exaltation in our hearts, we know God intimately, daily, because he gave salvation to us. See, it's not us reaching God, but God reaching down to us. God did the work. All we do is receive. We receive ministry from the Lord daily as his Spirit infills and never leaves nor forsakes our spirit. He makes us brand new in our spirits. All he does is invite our compliance with his grace. So you see, grace is what saves us. But wherein there is a response, that is, what should that response look like? We know we have a newness of life, a victory over sin. And we know that personally God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. And so we know that why don't we take the kingdom of by force? Because we know Christ's love from the first time perfects us, shaking us from glory to glory and giving us continual hope. We don't want our kingdom lifted up, but we want God's kingdom. And for that reason, we wish the destruction of our own kingdom. Therein, we don't want our will followed. We want to follow the will of God in every situation for a deep revelation of God's love, deeper walk in the fellowship of his sufferings and the resurrection of Christ, the power of that resurrection. So faith in Christ by grace alone saves you. We don't just decide this. We first bow and surrender and otherwise humble ourselves, praying for it as we pray determinedly. Christ's call is from a slavery from sin to Calvary in an empty tomb and the voice from heaven from God himself to us. Christ said, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that follow him as a new believer. Because you're born again and in love with God, you lay that which is you on the cross and follow Christ wherever he leads, even with our own set of faults and pains. We still follow Christ in his sanctification for our lives to become more like him, more like Christ. So we see God in us and loving us, and we enter into that crucified life in Christ after being born again. It's a perfect law of liberty, it says in James, because if we're careful not to be forgetful into looking into that mirror of liberty, we will be blessed in our deed. God helps us exhibit the Holy Spirit even in temptation, and we exhibit a joyfulness, a spontaneity in life through Christ's principle of life, meaning his death, burial, resurrection, the glorified believers, new life, new self, replaced like a walk in the Spirit, as in the Scriptures, that are placed within us supernaturally, ruminating or going remeditating over them, give unto us life magnificently. So Jesus Christ dwells in our hearts by faith, being that we bow ourselves before God in our heart and soul, walking with Christ with a holy glow about us, transformed by his Holy Spirit from darkness to life, light, and his word planted within gives a conversion of soul. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, Jesus said in Matthew 11:28. And come learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God's presence makes the difference. It becomes so real as we're sheltered in the arms at this place of coming rest in Christ. Jesus is coming back, and he prayed on this earth and did what his Father told him to do, following the Holy Spirit's anointing every moment. We have that same Holy Spirit. As he is, so are we in this world. So we make our relationship with God, not religion, and the Spirit teaches us how to abide in Christ. Christ sits next to the Father's throne, and we sit with him in heavenly places. Let us truly know the love of God and love from God himself. Amen.